Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to the Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Today, our guest is Joe. Joe, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Qasim.
Awesome. Thank you. So let us know where you live and what you do.
I actually just moved. I've been in the UK for 15 years. And 2 months ago, I moved back to France, which is where I grew up. And what do I do? I'm a serial entrepreneur now. I have a production company. I previously had a health supplement brand. And just 2 months ago, I launched a all-natural electrolyte supplement company called Drink Ocean.
All right. So at this point, you have two companies going on, right?
That's right.
All right. So let us know a little bit, what are your core responsibilities in both of these companies?
Okay. So essentially, I tend to be the sort of customer-facing in both companies. So my production company is very much like service-based. It's very much B2B. So we service typically like outdoor-led brands. We work with companies like The North Face, National Geographic, Aston Martin. They're really, really fortunate to have a great list of clients. And my job tends to be client handling and production. So if a client comes to us with a specific project and ideally a specific budget, I can tell them, great, this is the sort of thing that we can produce for you, whether it's stills or video. And this is the level of quality that you should expect from us. And this is the timeline that we might be looking at. And this is how we'll lay it out. And then I sort of make sure that they're happy right from the outset with what I suggest. And then I make sure that they're happy with how things progress and that they're always sort of a part of the creative, but also leave enough room for a creative team to execute some really good work.
Great. So what are you doing for the marketing of your brands?
So that's with the production company. That's called Nojack Media. And that's very much network-led. You know, you essentially need to get in front of the right person at the right time or be top of mind for when they have a project. My other brand, the electrolyte company, is called Ocean. So it's drinkocean.co. And this is very much a consumer brand, so completely different. But I'm really proud because we launched just over 2 months ago, and we so far haven't spent anything on advertising. So I know this is a sort of short-term thing, but we've managed to get a lot of word of mouth just by having a different take in this electrolyte space. Electrolyte space is such a big booming market, but a lot of brands are sort of me too brands and everything kind of looks the same. Everybody's going after the same sort of consumer, which tends to be sort of endurance athlete or maybe CrossFitter or maybe biohacker. And everything's in a sort of stick powder sachet, you know, everything kind of looks the same. And we went for very different aesthetic, very much like at home focused, very much like everyday lifestyle brand, really purified it, really made it look really beautiful. It's in a pump dispenser bottle, so, and it's a liquid, so everything's completely different. So essentially what we've managed to do so far is just kind of build in a lot of social triggers and a lot of word of mouth into the design of our product, and that's what's managed to get us quite a lot of, I mean, I don't think it's fair to say to call it free marketing, but a lot of visibility without spending money on ads.
All right. So what was the inspiration behind your production company?
Oh, let's see. We my partner and I essentially started off in the running world with that company. And we noticed that a lot of running brands and outdoor brands tended to focus on content that was quite dull and quite boring or quite sad. Like a lot of running content tends to be about overcoming difficulty and so on, which, you know, there's a place for that. But for us at Nojack Media, we like to focus on joyful stories. We like to focus on what brings happiness, what makes people smile. So that was basically our sort of niche, and that's really what we carry on doing today. We try and just bring a little bit more positivity to brands and to their audience.
Awesome. So what is in your production company, what is the element that sets you apart from the market?
Honestly, I think we are just friendly people to work with. You know, when you're a production company, if you're able to, and I think this applies to a lot of products and a lot of services, so long as you're able to deliver a really good product unless it's really, really an exceptional product, you're sort of in a commodity business. And so that means that people need a reason to choose you over others. And I think that what we tend to do well is just make people feel good and make our clients feel like they can trust us with what they want to do. So anyway, that's probably what makes us stand out.
All right. So as a serial entrepreneur, there are a lot of other challenges as well. Like even entrepreneurs, every entrepreneur have a lot of challenges. But when you are a serial entrepreneur, then you know many of the challenges already. And you take precautionary measures as well. So like, how did you build up your team for a new business just like Electrolytes? So was there anything behind the scene in your mind that this is how it will be working and I will need this team, XYZ persons?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I would say launching, this is my third business, but it's my second sort of consumer packaged goods brand and second time that I'm in the sort of health space. Honestly, it feels like a superpower. Like, it is amazing to have done it before because you know so many of the pitfalls. You can see them coming from quite a mile away. And you also have a network of people that you know you can kind of reach out to, whether that's clients or collaborators or even suppliers. So you can essentially move a lot faster and with a lot more confidence than when it's your first time. Like, I remember my first brand, I was like completely in the dark for months and months and months. And everything, every new challenge felt like, you know, where's, you know, pass me the light because I can't see anything. I don't know what I'm doing. So it definitely feels like a superpower to be, you know, second or third time running. I think that one of the also the big differences is you mentioned, like, how do you build out your team? Now I sort of know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. And we've got a third partner with this business because there's areas where we're really not really experienced or skilled in. And so for me, that tends to be anything with like data analysis, anything with like really optimizing logistics or really optimizing what cash flow should look like and where you can push and where you need to sort of pull back. That's really not my strength. So I think once you've gone through that once, it's much easier to acknowledge that. There's no longer like ego in the way. You can quite happily say like, well, this is what I'm good at and this is where I'm terrible. So I really need help or I'm going to listen to advice on that.
All right. So starting a new business, like again, starting one business is a different thing. Starting multiple businesses is completely different. So how did you raise the funding for your new business?
So with Ocean, by the way, it's Ocean, O-S-H-U-N. If you want to check it out, it's drinkocean.co. Honestly, I think this is maybe where, again, I've gained from my experience because we started off really, really lean in terms of financial input. And this is, for me, a great thing because I knew where we would be able to sort of really be efficient with cost and where we need to spend a little bit more money. So as I told you, like a big USP is that we look really different. Mm-hmm. So where we spent the most of our money is actually in the design, like in the brand design up front. And of course, you know, it'll evolve and it'll change, but we had enough experience and confidence to say, this is what we want to look like. And so we're going to execute that. And that's where we're going to spend quite a bit of money is like making something that looks really different and that has this very particular vision. So, you know, when you sort of work out, okay, where am I going to spend money and where am I going to be really, really lean? Actually, you can start with not so much money. And this is great, like, because it means we were able to answer sort of questions like almost every week, even before we launched. Like, okay, is there going to be demand for this? Is there interest? You know, are people interested in this space? Okay, let's do one thing that costs us basically no money to work out if people are going to be interested. And the way we did that was we just started talking to people and we tried to essentially get people to give us their feedback really early. So we got our whole community involved in picking our name, picking our logo, our sort of word mark, what, you know, out of a choice of four. And just by doing that, it reinforced the decisions that we were making. And luckily, every time out of like the 200 or 300 people that responded to our surveys, the top answer was the one that we wanted anyway. So like that was awesome. And B, like it means you can just answer questions over like without spending lots of money. So then it gives you more and more confidence. And then we did a really small first run of product, pretty much sold out in, I think it was 12 days of our first production run. And then, okay, fantastic. We're going to be out of stock for a little bit, but that means we've answered that first question, one of the first questions, which was, okay, there's demand, there's interest, but are people going to get their card out and actually, you know, spend $50 on our product? So that's like a very big different thing is like, okay, yes, people are interested, but will they hand over your money for your product? And once you know that, you get a lot more confidence in terms of like, okay, well, now we can push further with a production run. We can, you know, we can be a little bit more bullish on it.
So this is a study that we do before we start any project. And I believe there are many other things that are involved in the study. So there's one more thing, which is like success. How do you measure the success? Because whenever we start a business, we plan it like if we reach somewhere like this, if we are able to achieve this, then probably we will be successful. So what's your definition of success?
I think there's a couple of different ways to answer this. One is sort of internal, like what do you want to achieve with your product or service? And for me and my business partner, we decided a couple of years ago to focus on joyful innovation. So that basically means every product or service that we bring out, we want it to improve our customers' lives a little bit every day. So we want them to basically smile more, feel better about themselves, that kind of thing, which is awesome. Like that. So that's, if we can make you smile like you are right now, that makes us happy. That's a success. So now whenever we get, you know, another customer review that's really happy with our product, for maybe like they don't have migraines, they don't have brain fog anymore. Or last night we got an awesome review, which was a customer said that for the first time in over a year, her facialist said that her skin didn't look dehydrated, which is awesome for a hydration brand, right? So that's like, I guess, on the sort of personal, I guess, purpose side. The other way I'd say to measure success is just more objectively, numbers wise. Quite a few years ago, there's a venture capitalist that I spoke to who had quite a strong thesis, which, and one of the elements of her thesis was that they did not really consider brands that were doing under £2 million in revenue, so call it $2.5 million or so. And I asked her why there was that really specific floor, and her answer really stayed with me. She basically said, under 2 million, I'm paying for your mistakes, which is awesome. Like, such a really clear answer. Like, basically she was saying, up until you've reached that point, you're gonna basically fuck around and you know, not get things right. Excuse my language, but you're gonna make mistakes. So that to me is like another sort of objective measure of success, is like, if you can go beyond $2 or $3 million in revenue, then you've sort of pushed beyond those like repeated errors. You know, you've got something that works. So that I think that's like the sort of objective measure of success.
All right. So to be more specific, what could be the two major errors that business owners are doing who are working in production or electrolytes businesses? So if you can come up with two solid errors.
Mm. So in content production, a lot of the time, people that start a production business, it tends to be two or three creatives that come together, which can be really powerful, but it can also come with some issues. And this is where we may be a little bit different, because I'm not from a creative background, but my business partner is. I think that if you have a team of creatives, a common error will be that you want to have too much influence on the content, on the assets they're delivering to your client. That means that, you know, you might blow them away, but you might really miss the mark. And, you know, you need to be careful that you listen to what they want. And yes, you want to push them a little bit and make sure it's maybe a little bit better than what they've seen before, or maybe a little better than what they've got in their mind, because, you know, this is why they're hiring you. But you want to make sure you don't overstep and make it your own. You want to make something that's going to be commercially interesting for your client and going to make them money. And then that's where they're going to come back, right? And then I think for product business like Ocean, there's so much noise now about marketing and advertising that you could really easily sort of go really deep in trying to optimize, you know, your ad funnel and your life cycle and all the different touch points that a potential customer gets before purchasing, and then what happens after purchase. All that stuff is necessary, but it would be easy, I think, in today's sort of ecosystem to get so absorbed into that you kind of forget about the product. And I think that if you have a really good product that's really well designed and that has a lot of sort of social calls in it, so you know, you're sort of embedding word of mouth into your product, so you make sure people are talking about it and it raises questions, and when somebody sees it in somebody else's home, they ask about it, this kind of thing, everything else is going to be a lot easier. You know, essentially a boring product is going to be expensive to market. If you make an exciting product, and it might be funny, or it might be provocative, or it might be a little bit odd or strange, all those things can be really beneficial, because then everything you do with your ad funnel and marketing optimization is going to work based on a complete different level. I think that's the thing, that's the danger with today's like marketing mindset, is that you can kind of forget about making the product really good.
Exactly. So in terms of your short-term goals, what are you looking for in next 3 to 6 months?
Really focusing on Ocean, our electrolyte brand. We're a UK-based company, but really already selling globally. And I suppose it's really just growing it as much as possible and as efficiently as possible. So I don't really want to be in the space where we say, you know, we've done 30 or 40 million in year two, but actually what we don't say is we've spent 50 million advertising. What I want to do is build a profitable company that is growing very fast, but that's not burning lots of cash. That's my goal. It's like, I know we're going to need to start advertising soon and spending money on advertising, but I want it to be essentially cash generating all along. That's my goal.
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing. And I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? Do you want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technologies like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
Awesome. So would you give a biggest piece of advice to our viewers who are going to start their business, or maybe they are running a business?
For people starting or thinking about starting, my biggest piece of advice, and I say this all the time to everybody I speak to, is talk to people before you've got your product out. You know, talk to people at every stage, when it's the idea stage, when it's a vague idea stage, when it's a precise idea stage, when you've got your product prototype, like all along, talk to people. Because the danger, especially I think with first-time founders, is that you want to keep it secret. You're sort of scared of feedback. You're scared of getting it wrong. And the risk is that you spend all of your time and all of your money building a product, and when you do get it out, it might not be right because you didn't ask anybody beforehand. So this is really like, forget the ego. I think this is an ego thing. Like, you need to drop the ego. Don't worry too much about secrecy. I think secrecy is way overrated. Talk to people. Talk to your family, fine, but don't listen to them too closely, because they're not going to want to. They won't want to offend you. They want to make you feel good. So take that with a pinch of salt. But talk to lots of people online, in real life, as much as possible at every stage. That's my biggest piece of advice.
Yeah, this was the mistake one of my founder did. So previously he was working on another product. Before this business, he was working on another product that was for the fitness market. But unfortunately, he realized about it that it's not a good fit once it was ready and was in the market. So yeah, he lost a lot of money on it.
Yeah, this is it. You know, when you talk to people also, you need to actually listen to what they say. Yeah. And it might not be in the words that they use. It might be in the body language or in the silences, you know, but you got to pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah, obviously. So thank you, Jom. Will you please share your business addresses, like websites, and your wherever people can reach you?
Yeah. Reach me on Twitter, best place, or X, I should say, at Joe Wellstead, WELSTEAD. And our electrolyte brand is drinkocean.co. So that's Ocean, OSHUN. And if you want to check out our production company, that's nojack.media. Nojack is nojack.media.
Awesome, Joe. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kasim.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Hey, you too. Take care.